This episode of the Nerdy Legion podcast brought to you by...
Damn you, McLean! How am I supposed to eat this 50 Shades burger from Grey Burger?
That's right, Quigley. It's got more grey patties than an Irish retirement home.
Say, McLean, my cantankerous counterpart.
Yes, Quigley, my persnickety passenger.
Have you ever had an alien encounter?
You mean aside from the one locked in your trunk?
To find the location nearest you, go to www.greyburger.space. Grey Burger. They're that color on purpose.
Hello, Legionnaires. It's your good buddy, Nick Wetmore, here on the comfy couch, with my guest co-host for the evening, Mr. Gundy. Hello, Gundy.
Hello, Gundy.
Oh. Yes.
Or whatever time you might be listening to this.
But yes, anytime. Anytime's a good time for us. Just download it.
It's evening here.
Uh-oh. So hey, what any new tales to weave from this past week?
Just tee that right up.
I don't know what you have to tell me.
I think you teed it up on the Twitters. If you want to hear my dining experience from yesterday, my brunch experience from yesterday.
Sure. Hey, you want to weave a tale? I want to hear a tale.
And I'm sure you have plenty to chime in about because it is very much focused on the wives and food allergies, food dietary complications, that sort of thing.
Oh yeah.
We went to a gluten-free. It's not. I think it's all meals. It's not just brunch, but a gluten-free only restaurant.
Oh.
Everything on the menu is gluten-free, including the cocktails, including the beers, which, really springboarding off of our last episode, I'm long overdue for doing a post about gluten-free beers and rating them and recommending them and whatnot.
Great.
So,
but that restaurant should be saying it loud, saying it proud, because there's a lot of people out there with those type of allergies.
Right, and I'm only really honestly aware of two restaurants in the city of Chicago, at least that we've been to, that is 100% the menu, and, there might be disclaimers here and there, don't bring it in outdoor food, that kind of thing. My wife, she has celiac, so it's not just a gluten preference. She legitimately has to avoid it.
Mm-hmm. It's not a sensitivity.
No, it is not. And I have found that these particular restaurants, not only are they sensitive to gluten, but you bring your food allergy and they will accommodate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether that is little icons on the menu that tell you, this is garlic free or onion free or soy free. They're really trying to cater to the folks that have these restrictions and provide them with, equivalent experiences that they don't even need to have to think or worry about what they're ordering. Right.
Oh yeah.
I'm not going to name the restaurant,
but I
will say that
there is
one in Chicago and there is one in New York City.
All right, Chili's, you're on blast.
So
it wasn't Chunk E. Cheese.
It was not. Okay. I don't know what that is.
Chunk E. Cheese? You don't know what Chunk E. Cheese is?
I know who Chuck E. Cheese is.
Chuck E. Cheese, my bad. Was it Chuck E. Cheese?
I'm just
narrowing it down.
You're doing the clue of restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
You're just crossing things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the wife is awesome about, like, if she did it once the first time and she narrowed down what it is that she needs to cross off of the ingredients list in order to make it, you know, make a menu item that she likes, like, compliant with her other allergies. She's got that down.
Yeah, it's my guess, because my wife is very similar. It's like a jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, it's like, okay, everything on the menu is gluten-free. Fantastic. But I'm still allergic to garlic, so I can't have this, this, and this. And exactly. I'm allergic to this, and I can't have shellfish, so I can't have that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Real pain in the butt.
Pain in the butt, but she's so good about making it as painless as possible, right? Like, once she has gone through the, can you ask the chef? And the wait person comes back, can you ask the chef this? And then she comes, and the wait person comes back. Like, that whole conversation with the kitchen, you know, sometimes they just send the chef out and you know, points for that, too.
But sometimes. That's very rare. That's a rainbow unicorn.
It does happen, though.
It does. That's when you know you're being taken care of, or like the head of staff, the head of house.
Or the manager, sure.
Yeah, if they come over, then you know, oh my God, they're going to take care of. Okay, I have two more questions. Is your waiter or waitress, are they about 17 years old?
If I had to guess the age of our wait person, I would say 24.
So they're old enough to know and understand, because that's also a problem. Like, you get the 17-year-old, oh, let me go check, and they're gone for, oh, about 8 seconds. Then they come back, and it's like, you didn't ask anyone, son of a. And my next question, because I said I had two. My next question, does the wait staff wear a baseball cap or some type of paper hat?
No.
Okay, so this is more of an upscale-y place.
It's upscale, and yet the standard uniform is, I think they were kind of like checkered button-down shirts tucked into jeans.
Were you at Checkers?
No. I don't think there are any more of those.
Did they have buttons all over their shirt and or fanny pack? Were you at Fridays?
No flair.
Dang it, I'm trying to... I'm either hotter or colder. We're playing a game right now. We're
no
very
flair.
Close. Dang it!
I guarantee you will not have heard of this place.
I'm sure. If it's in Chicago and not in the burbs, I'm sure I never heard of this place. But it's telling that there's more than one location.
Yes.
Like, they should know better.
Also, sort of like a denim apron part of the uniform.
Oh my gosh. You are... This is... Hey, Martin, your absence is not being missed right now. Craig Gunderson and I have been in Pretentiousville for a very long time. Check out the last two episodes. Denim! Oh, my God. Did he have facial hair that he used wax on? That's all I need to know.
First of all, why would you assume it's a male? And second, if he did, it would also be incorporated into his man bun.
Why would you assume that every woman in Chicago uses facial wax, Craig? I think that's horrible.
Damn it. You got it.
Okay, proceed. Sorry.
Okay.
But no, I understand this jigsaw puzzle, and... God, listeners, if you deal with that, or I would rather like it if I dealt with it, because I'm a human garbage disposal. I can eat anything, and unless it's like very, very rich dairy, that's the only thing I'll get a reaction from, but that is, even that is not bad. But it's almost worse to have a loved one that you're walking through this minefield, or they walk through the minefield and God forbid something wrong goes down. Cause then it's like, you just want to throw a chair. You want to beat up somebody and you're just completely helpless.
Let me ask you this.
On
that subject, how many of, Julie, the cruise director's entrees, and I've never heard you refer to your wife as Julie, the cruise director on the podcast.
But she is, of course. Hello.
How many of her meals have you had comped because of this situation?
I think a better question is, how many of these meals has she broken down and started to cry in said restaurant?
Oh, God.
And that would tell you how many have been comped, because unless she cries, there's no compensation. An apology, for sure, but no compensation.
Oh, God.
In the suburbs, you barely even get a manager that will come out and, like, profusely apologize. You have to go way beyond, like, the Chili's level of, like, restaurants to even come close to getting a manager, head of house, or the head chef come out and, like, profusely apologize. It's been ridiculous.
I was not expecting a breakdown. I was not expecting, like, tears and...
Yeah.
Like, not that I don't understand it, but the wife will be far more likely to... go through the motions and send the signal by putting her EpiPen on the table.
Oh, God.
To send the message of you bitches are on strike three.
Oh, oh my God. I thought she would take it out on you as she puts it on the table and like, hey honey, can you load that for me? Cause I'm pretty sure I'm going to need that.
No, the only way I mean, of course I sympathize, but where I go to is just like, okay, don't take another bite of your food until they get hers right. Because the last thing you want to be doing is like finishing up and like, hey, I wonder what that dessert menu looks like. And she hasn't even gotten her meal appropriately prepared.
Yeah. I don't even take a bite until she takes a bite.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that years ago.
But in this particular meal, we had my food came out. Let me back. I gotta back up.
No. Tell the whole entire story. Sorry, I derailed.
I am telling the story, but what's really important here, and it goes to the whole pinkies out pretentiousness of the restaurant, is they do not write down the order.
Ooh.
They are committing it to memory as if that were demonstrating some sort of experience. You are in for such a treat, I don't need to write down your food.
Which, guess what? If that was you and I out at the restaurant, feel free.
Probably, but okay.
But I want somebody to pull out a pen. As soon as they hear about, like, especially an allergy. Sensitivity, that's completely different. Mm-hmm. But a food allergy... I want that pad of paper to come out, or they reach inside whatever, their jeaned, apron, schmuck. They reach inside that, pull out a red flag. Who the hell knows what they pull out? But something to signify at this point, this order that I'm committing to memory, I have to take this red flag over to the chef and be like, here's a red flag.
Oop. They just plant a lit sparkler in the center of your table.
That would be... I want that thing to go back to the chef so they know this is DEFCON 1. Like, if I see somebody, especially we go to a few places that as soon as she says that server cannot write what she's allergic to, like, large and in charge on her pad of paper.
Oh, yeah.
To let whoever reads that, like, oh, this says no garlic, circled, underlined, exclamation points. Like, oh, my God. And for them to commit it to... That's why I wanted to know how old they were. Like, does this person take this serious?
And it was immediately apparent this server was very new to the establishment.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, maybe she has a long career. She has a long career as a server, but I am telling you, if you are an establishment who prides yourself on catering to food allergies, mm-hmm. you need to write that shit down.
Yes, because we already know everybody coming in your door, they don't want gluten. So at that point, you need to know other allergies. And also, I want to know, did she wax her mustache or beard?
She did have spectacular eyelashes. whether there was wax at work there, they were long and luscious.
Yeah, and I'm sure your wife would immediately know if they were fake or extensions. Where I'm like, what? They're just thick. Look. And she's like, no, they're four inches long. There's something going on there. And I'm just like, oh, I don't know. It's genetic.
They almost picked up your EpiPen like a prehensile tail.
She's like Avatar, but not blue.
So what was remarkable then was I ordered eggs Florentine.
They're the specialty.
I don't know what their specialty is, but you know, it's a pretty basic dish. It's eggs and some sort of topping sitting on top of an English muffin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Open face, if you will. But they're poached eggs.
A gluten-free usually. English muffin.
Exactly. I mean, mm-hmm. I've never had a bad gluten-free English muffin. They're
sure.
Spectacular. And there was an option on mine where I could add smoked salmon.
Mm.
And I think it was like, it was a set price. But also, as a side, you could order a salmon fillet. Hmm. So when they brought mine out, I very specifically said I would like to exercise my smoked salmon option. And what I got was eggs Florentine with a side salmon fillet, and I'm like, whoa, my food's coming out wrong.
It's all in my head.
And that in and of itself, not a disaster. I like a good salmon fillet, but A, it's not what I ordered. B, there was like a $7 difference.
Ooh. Well, then that was on the house, obviously. Their mistake, on the house.
Sent it back.
Oh.
And to their credit, even though they took the Florentine away, and I'm thinking, maybe they could have left the Florentine and just brought me out some sliced smoked salmon. When they brought it back, they had simply laid the smoked salmon on top.
You mean the same stuff that was on the plate next to it?
No. No, what I received on the side was a grilled salmon fillet. These were thinly sliced smoked salmon, which you would find on an egg Florentine. But rather than remake it, which I'm glad they didn't, they just laid it on top. And I was totally fine with that. That was great. So it was that rare sort of, she got her food and she's putting her tacos together while I'm waiting to actually get my dish in the manner that I expected it. But then she realizes they brought her pork tacos when she had ordered vegetarian tacos.
And she's like, wait a minute, this pork tastes mysteriously like pork. How did they make zucchini and bell peppers taste this porky? Answer, they didn't.
They didn't.
This faux pork is not faux pork.
So in a rare twist of fate, my dish comes back, her dish goes away.
Wait, can I ask? Okay, I have to.
This is gonna be the whole show.
Yes, have you ever heard Nerdy Legion? I don't know if you have. Our stories last an hour and a half.
Right. I'm gonna work comics in somehow.
And I'm gonna work in what I've been watching. This is bad. Tell me if you do, tell me if you don't do this. When something gets sent back,
mm-hmm.
but it looks good, do you ever like, hey, baby, let me see if that faux pork is real pork or not? Because you know who's a mastermind? Who's the judge of that? Right here, number one fan of pork from the Pork Council, Craig Gunderson.
No, this wasn't any sort of imitation. This wasn't Beyond Pork.
No, the whole point is it looks good, so you're like, I'm going to take a bite of that before we send that back. Maybe I want to order that the next time.
I daren't cross that line.
Oh, okay, because at that point she's already keyed off.
She wasn't. She was just kind of, she's pretty used to it by now, but what was throwing her is she did the damage control. She knew to say, you know, I want the cauliflower tacos. I found out last time that the mole sauce has garlic in it, so please leave off the mole sauce. You bring a little side sauce. Don't bring that because I know I can't have it. And then I would like to add goat cheese.
Wow, and this is all in the server's head.
Right?
Woof. I just forgot half of the stuff you just said.
But she also was like,
I would be bringing you a taco shell with goat cheese in it.
Lashes was 100% fixed on, okay, you've got a garlic allergy. Got it. Also, these were supposed to include avocado. And I believe, if I remember correctly, avocado allergy is very common with people who have celiac. So, no avocado. That's going away. No mole. I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, please just bring me some corn tortillas with your finest cauliflower on them.
Yeah.
But
okay, let me ask, because she already took a bite of this pork taco, this full pork taco.
She did.
And I've dealt with this with my with Julie, the cruise director.
Uh-huh.
Anything that's marinated.
Oh,
any
yeah.
meat, any vegetable that is marinated, just for the listener, because my wife has a garlic allergy as well. Guaranteed, garlic's going to be in that marinade.
That's where my brain goes.
Yeah.
If
she turned that taco to me and showed pork in it, in my head I'm like, there's no way that isn't marinated or there isn't a sauce on it. Mother effer, there's garlic there.
100%.
Yeah.
And if I'm being assured by the server, the kitchen 100% understands that I put on the ticket garlic allergy, you know, no mole sauce, and they're like, well, I hope she likes this marinated pork. Like, what were you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
All right, tacos round two. You ready?
Sure.
They come out no mole sauce. They are absolutely the veggie tacos that she ordered, but she's Perfect. Looking at them and she's like, I can tell that this cauliflower has also been tossed around in some kind of sauce.
Yeah.
And I'm looking
at that point, my guess is at this point, she is opening up those tacos and examining them like she's looking at, she's Indiana Jones looking at the skull, the golden skull that she's ready to like grow. Because that's what Liz does.
Of course.
She's like, she's in that thing like with her utensils or her fingers, like looking for like, there's no way XYZ isn't in here. There's no way.
Let's take
smelling
another,
everything.
Let's take another tangent.
Sure.
How often have you been presented with a finger from across the table and it's got just the tiniest little off-white globule on it? And the question is, does this look like garlic to you? Taste it.
Is the finger inside of a tortilla?
No, the finger is just presented in all of its glory with a little wad of something that you are expected to taste.
I don't mind that, but the problem is I don't have great taste buds to be able to differentiate.
Same boat. I don't mind it either, but I can't guarantee that my mouth is some sort of spectral analysis machine that can... Like,
you don't have that CSI machine in your mouth?
I'm 50-50 on like, it doesn't taste, it seems like it's not garlic. No, that's an onion.
Or that's it could be cauliflower.
Could be cauliflower. Yeah.
So wait, okay, this round two, from your description of what she ordered the first round,
mm-hmm.
tell me, unless you didn't share, it's still missing... the avocado and goat cheese.
Avocado is a no-no, so it came out without it, so that's fine.
Okay.
It did include a side of goat cheese.
Okay.
But she could very clearly see that because she's been here before, she's ordered this dish before to specification and not gotten sick, mm-hmm. she knows that cauliflower shouldn't look the color that it does. So we wave Lashes down. Hey, Lashes, can you come over here, please?
Uh-oh.
This cauliflower, it really looks like it's been tossed around in the sauce. Could you please double-check with the kitchen and make sure? Uh-oh. Lashes, now every time Lashes goes away, she disappears for a good 6 minutes.
Well, that's good. They're having a powwow in the back. Right?
And you know, spoilers, it was an hour before she bit into the properly prepared taco.
So you're saying Lashes went into the back to the kitchen and told them to redo it and then went out back and had a cigarette break? Is that what you're saying?
I can't necessarily account for the whereabouts of Lashes every time, but there was no hustle, I guess is what I'm saying.
I would really like them to spend 6 minutes back there while she talks to the chef that prepared it, the head chef, and hopefully the manager, head of house, or whatever. That's what I hope goes on in my head. My guess is they just are trying to prepare it, or they're taking regular cauliflower, throwing it into a water bath, and then microwaving it for 6 minutes.
Well, Lashes goes away, and manager comes out.
Good.
Manager says, we specified to the kitchen, the line cook, that there should be no, I can't remember if it was actually the mole sauce or just whatever sauce they toss it in that has garlic in it. And, well, they admit that they missed that. So I'm just going to take that plate from you and we'll bring out another one.
Now, did you quickly eat your eggs Florentine hoping to get another one presented to you?
I had several bites. Look, I mean, again, the wife, a trooper, the saint, says to me, babe, go ahead and eat your food. And I'm doing sort of like phases where, like, okay, I'm having half. I'll make my way through one English muffin, one half of the English muffin.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, not my usual pace of just inhaling the damn thing. So, taco plate number three comes out, and I feel like at this point I should point out I believe these are $12 to $14 tacos.
Yeah, you're not at a Chili's. This is a much more upscale place.
So we're easily at a good $40+ here of wasted food that does not include my salmon fillet.
Mm. Now, when plate three came out, did the manager present it?
Nope.
The head chef present it? See, that's a mistake. The manager should be out there, like, giving it to her, letting her look at it, and then, like, I will send you away now because this looks good.
And you bring up you bring pause to my story here in sort of like how busy is the establishment, how hectic are things, are we just adding to an already stressful situation? Not how many, busy.
How many tables in this restaurant?
Total?
Yeah, just guesstimated.
So we're sitting outside where there are about 10 tables.
Okay.
And then there's easily another 25 inside.
Okay, so a decent size restaurant.
It's decent size. I would say there was one large group and a couple of medium sized groups. I'd say all told, total patrons, probably 25 total.
Okay.
Now, what was really interesting to me was after manager came out and whisked plate number two away, another server came out, and she, I think, was representing the seasoned staff of the restaurant because she wanted to let us know that things are being taken care of and that the manager was going to come out soon. And we were like, well, the manager was already here. And I actually said, are you a manager? And the wife thought that was real weird the way I said it, but she was like, no, not a manager. I've just worked here a really long time. I just want to make sure, I just want to let you know we got everything under control.
She's like, I want to bring out your food. Well, I wanted to represent your food because if Lashes had to do the food again, she's going to spit in it. So she already knows she's getting no tip, so why swing by anymore?
To Lash's credit, every time she came out and presented herself upbeat, very positive, very nice about everything.
Very professional. Good.
You know, I think if she were allowed to write things down, everything would have been fine. She's making excuses for everybody else.
Gotcha.
Plate number 3 comes out. It is properly prepared in every manner. Still forgot the goat cheese. And at that point I said, man, I really thought I should have taken that goat cheese off of that last plate and just kind of kept it aside because I knew they were going to forget that.
At this point, was the wife just like, I don't care about this freaking goat cheese. I just want to eat.
No, she told her, you still forgot the goat cheese, still took 6 minutes to get out, and the wife waited for that damn goat cheese before she even took a bite.
Hey, to her credit, sometimes you have to be that way.
I mean, when you're ordering ridiculously dry tacos because there's no sauce on it and no avocado, you kind of need the goat cheese.
Yeah. Yep.
So, needless to say, comped her meal.
Just hers?
Just hers.
Jesus Christ.
The bill still came out with my with my salmon filet on it.
Wow.
So I had to send that back.
Damn it.
You overcharged me for my salmon.
Oh, my God.
And once they got that all squared away, it was still a $60 meal because the wife had a margarita.
Oh, my Lord. They should have been sending over margaritas, one margarita for every plate sent back.
I did forget. They packed up a to-go portion of banana bread.
That wasn't ordered.
Well, we had it as kind of an appetizer.
Okay.
I think the thinking was, well, these folks really like banana bread. Let's send them home with some more.
Yeah, well, they're trying. They're trying to get you back in the door.
Yes.
That's the thing, listener, that we might be going on and on about this horrible situation.
Oh, we
did. And we still might go on and on about it.
Oh, this is even the worst story.
But I know Craig and I both completely, we've been servers, we've worked where they are in regards to the food industry. We're very empathetic. We're really good tippers. I always let stuff slide that I certainly shouldn't. I rarely send stuff back just because I understand the pressures. I understand what they go through. But mama mia, I mean, this is ridiculous.
And I can't let go of the not writing shit down thing.
Yeah.
Like to me, that's bad. Like, oh, you have another allergy? Let me go get a pen and paper.
Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't mention it to the manager when he came by.
She was very green.
Okay.
And I could tell immediately, and when that second server came out, she was all apologetic and basically saying, you know, everybody here is pretty new except for me.
So they have rapid turnover, obviously.
But it seems to be like the policy of the restaurant. We're too cool to write shit down.
Oh, God, that's the worst. But you guys have been there at least 2 times.
This is probably like our 7th visit, I think.
And has it ever been this bad? And also, has it ever been completely perfect the first time out?
I am telling you, if we had anything close to this experience in the first 3 visits, we would have never gone back.
Yeah, can't blame you.
So, you know, pretty rare.
That's nuts. That is crazy.
My Florentine was delicious.
Even ice cold. that 35-minute old Florentine that's been sitting in front of me waiting for my wife's food.
Luckily, I saved myself 2 slices of banana bread for the end.
I'm going to chipmunk these away because I know this is going to be a crap stain. So.
But she did. She pulled out the EpiPen, put it right on the table, and was like, you fuckers don't know who you're messing with.
Oh, terrible.
It was gold.
Terrible.
Where do we go from here, Nick?
Oh, man. I want to ask you a question, because mm-hmm. I've been watching a few shows, ooh. And I want to know if you have them on your radar or if they've slipped off your radar.
Lay them on me.
Well, we tend to do this, especially on the old Netflix. They just released last week a new season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Watch the trailer.
Have you watched any of them?
The trailer inspired me to pull up some select episodes. So I love John Oliver.
Oh,
and
yes.
I pulled that episode up, and it was really, really funny and good. And I was really impressed that it wasn't just we're having a conversation with all the ha-has. Uh-huh. That it was also like, hey, check out this car I'm driving this time around. That was cool.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I thoroughly enjoy the show, even though progressively as the seasons have gone on, I think they're on season 6 now. Oof. They have slowly become worse and worse. I definitely think that they blew their load early, you know, the first couple seasons with their guests.
I feel like that's a pretty common thing with that sort of format. Like, especially if you're first starting out, like, you're going to get your heavy hitters because you really want to attract the audience and stuff. And then you realize, like, oh, hey, we got signed up for another season. Now we're scraping the bottom of the barrel and Mitch Hedwig is dead.
Well, I mean, Jerry Seinfeld knows plenty of people, so he can call in favors whenever he wants to. Like, this last season has Eddie Murphy on, and normally the running times of the episodes are 15 to 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and this one felt like it was about 30 to 40 minutes long.
Oh, don't say that. I love Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy was stellar. Stellar. Okay. But the bad thing is, it was the very first episode of the new season, so it's slow. And they had Ricky Gervais on this season, too, as well as a previous season. And he's always a home run. But, like I said, the later seasons, like at the beginning, I would say, even if you didn't know the comedian that he's talking to, if you're in for just the insight of how quick a comedian's brain works mm-hmm. on a non-segmented show, it's a great, great show. It's a great concept. And Jerry Seinfeld is so freaking fast and funny. It's well worth seeing. But this last season that he just did was the first season that he actually brought guests back
mm-hmm.
on a few episodes. So now it does feel like, okay, where are you going after this? Because mm-hmm. obviously it's popular. Netflix spent a boatload of money, so there's no way he's going to end the show. But,
is it that expensive?
No. I'm saying Netflix spent gave him a boatload of money.
Okay,
to bring the show from whoever hosted it previously over to Netflix.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, he was on Stern talking about it, and he was like, oh, yeah, that's, come on. The reason I went over there is because they backed up the Brinks truck. But it's I love the concept, but see, I can sit there and listen to two comedians talk back and forth and break down what is comedy and, you know, what is a good joke, talk about language. That, to me, is very fascinating. And that is the part of his show that really, really works well.
Mm-hmm.
So I did watch that. I would still recommend it. I didn't make it through the new season of Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. That will be this weekend. But I will need a box of facial tissues next to me, because mother effort that
a well-folded pile of hankies.
No, I would only have one hanky in my pocket, but that would become soiled very quickly if I binge watch Queer Eye.
When you're in your own home, you use paper tissues.
Sometimes, depending. Like right now. Just, hey, before you become Mr. Greenpeace with me, right now, I'm in my PJ bottoms. I'm not putting a fancy hanky in my PJ bottoms. So, facial tissue it is.
I'm sure you have PJ bottoms with pockets.
Listen, I might not. We're not gonna go into grave detail on my PJ bottoms.
We need to tangent off of not necessarily back to hankies, but the green aspect of your habits in this regard. Because when we were talking about the straws,
yes,
I know the hanky isn't a green effort on your part. It's not. You're not being eco-friendly with your.
You know how many dolphins I saved by having cotton handkerchiefs in my pocket?
Because we didn't even talk about your consumption of napkins when you're out dining.
In the hops of an angel.
And since we spoke about the stainless steel straws, someone has been killed by one.
Oh! I thought you were saying we finally got a brand new sponsor to the podcast who is going to donate stainless steel straws. I got very excited.
That would be exciting.
I have, to get a Nerdy Legion engraved stainless steel straw, I would not be using plastic straws at that point. Send me five.
I mean, honestly, that is not my responsibility. You need to speak with Martin Ferretti about lining up that sort of sponsor. But there has been a steel straw-related death since we spoke.
Did it shoot out of a dishwasher right into the forehead of a baby?
No.
No?
No. It was a, if I understand correctly, it was a person who did not have the full facilities of mobility.
Are you trying to say that I just did a horrible joke in poor humor?
No, because I still laughed. Okay. 60-year-old Alina Struthers Gardner. Yes, she hyphenated.
Wow. Sally Struthers' sister. Is that who you're saying?
Yes. Mrs. Meathead.
Yes!
Was carrying a glass with a 10-inch long stainless steel straw.
Nice.
And she
props
fell.
To her. We were talking that we want bigger, longer straws.
Is 10
inches kudos
not
to Sally
standard?
Struthers.
I have a ruler handy.
I don't think
10
so.
Inches is pretty long. That is exceptionally long, in at least in our cutlery drawer.
I'm guessing it would a standard straw length would be like 8 inches. That would
8 inches
my guess.
Seems about right.
Yeah. So what did Sally Struthers do?
She fell, Nick.
What?
And that straw, where did it go?
Was she drunk? Please tell me she was drunk, because I don't understand if she was.
Using the word drunk as past tense for drinking, then yes. But was she inebriated? No.
So this is just old timey death?
Right into her eye, Nick.
Oh, God! Oh! And then did her 20 house cats come up there and suck her eyeball through the straw?
If only it stopped at her eyeball, Nick.
Oh, God.
It went into her brain.
See? This is why I stick with plastic, my friend. Thank you for proving my point. It hit harms of an angel.
I feel like even if this were made of some other material, there would still be some sort of disastrous consequences.
You know, this is the law of Darwinism. Come on.
I immediately...
Is that your soapbox? Are you running for mayor of Chicago and your platform, the soapbox that you're on, is the outlaw stainless steel straws? This is the hill you're going to die on?
First of all, I have no interest in unseating the fine Lori Lightfoot, hashtag feminist agenda. Second of all, if I were to have some kind of platform, perhaps it would be plastic capping those stainless steel straws. I don't know.
No.
No is right. I have no
platform. Why would you put plastic on stainless steel? That's the whole point.
Exactly, because a plastic tip would... Maybe rubber. Rubber comes from trees.
No.
Maybe her eyeball would have bounced right off.
Possibly.
So I thought you would find that tidbit interesting.
That was fascinating, yeah, but I still don't want to give up my stainless steel straws. I do like those.
No, I like the stainless steel straws, too. And the napkins, you are a walking human problem when it comes to... Actually, no, I take that back. I am all about paper products because paper is a renewable resource.
Mm.
People forget that, and that's how we got into the whole, we need to have plastic bags because we're killing our trees.
Yeah, I used to put plastic jewel bags on my hands, and I would wipe my face down with them because I didn't want to use all that paper product. But then people I would use them for garbage cans on my door, and then when people would reach into the garbage can to throw something away, it'd be covered in saliva and goo. So I decided to go back to the paper towels and napkins. You live and learn. Sometimes, the experiments fail.
I'm telling you, go crazy with the napkins.
I can't help that I have a very hyperactive saliva gland. I can't help that.
But you,
Julie, the cruise director, will verify this. I'm like a Gila monster. I'm like a spitting flower. I can't help it.
Hopefully, she's only buying you yoga pants with that can accommodate a stainless steel straw in the pocket.
No, I think what I need to do, I need to buy like carpentry pants.
Oh,
with that long, like that's where I put my 12-inch ruler, right on the side, that small little pocket. I thought it was for condoms. Nope, for my 12-inch ruler. That's where I can put my stainless steel. Yeah, right in there. Whoop.
I like it.
It's like it's hidden. But let me tell you about the one Netflix program. Ooh, let me circle
back. Bring it
back.
Thank you.
My last thing that I wanted to throw out to you regarding our streaming services, other than I'm very excited, is it next week? Is it this week? For Amazon Prime's The Boys hitting. I'm very excited to see that. That looks really, really good, as I'm sure you will be watching as well. Come on! Did I invite on a negative Nelly onto the show? This is Rainbow and Unicorn.
Not at all.
These are New Legions.
Did you really like the comic?
No, I bailed on the comic halfway through. But I'm excited to see what the heck they're going to do with it. Don't forget, I only watched the first two seasons of Preacher, and that's one of my favorite comics ever.
Oh, then you got one season further than I did.
But still, the point is, I have to try because I'm very, very hopeful.
I
like the actors.
This is two completely separate episodes of our new podcast about why or why not to adapt comics into other mediums.
Why do we have to have a podcast? We can just do an episode on that. Come on.
Because I'm like one episode away from not being invited back.
Well, that's true. Yeah, all that negativity. You are right.
Don't think
okay.
I don't know.
Okay. By episode, I just wanted a little throw out to Amazon Prime. Way to go.
That is way to go.
The series that I wanted to tell you about that became an Uber bin watch, watched the entire season in a day, couldn't stop it, couldn't wait, only paused for bathroom breaks and food breaks. The wife was engaged. I was engaged. We were quiet as church mice watching that thing the entire day. It was great. It's on Netflix. And it's a competition show called Blown Away.
Oh, that's right.
Have you seen it?
No, not even a trailer.
Have you seen it yet? Okay, so you don't know the concept.
No, and I thought you were going to say something that we actually really got into, and it couldn't be further from this, but go.
What, you thought it was about the Michael Antonioni Italian New Wave film, Blown Away? But yet it's based on a competition show? No, it is not that. Did you think it was based in the 1980s film starring John Travolta?
Yes.
And Brian De Palma? But it was made into a competition show? No,
Blow
it is
out.
Not that.
That's exactly what I started Googling.
I thought it was blow away. Okay, blown away. With Rüger Tauger? No, it did not. Okay.
It was blown.
This show, is it blowout? Okay. My bad.
1981.
My bad.
Was Rucker Howard in it?
I thought he was. I thought he was the villain.
Hang on. No. Lithgow.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right.
Oh.
Hey, my memory's only half there. I'm surprised I remembered two films that were based on Blown in the title. And also, one is Italian New Wave. Give me credit, damn it.
I give you credit for the Italian New Wave, but you botched the De Palma. That was a great film. Oh, Dennis Franz was in it.
But you can also remember that was probably John Travolta's best hairstyle ever in cinema.
Now I need to pull up some photos.
Oh, it's good. Okay.
His hair is very Zuko.
Yeah, it is. But it's really, really feathered. But anywho, okay, this show is a competition show. I think it's in New York, I want to say. And it looks just like every standard competition show. There's a narrator, there's a judge who goes through every episode, and then there's a guest.
What are the judge's credentials?
I don't even recall. But the whole show, it's a competition show based around glass blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the title. And it is completely fascinating. They get a style to do and a theme. And it's fascinating to watch. I mean, I am not artistically inclined, but I love the creation process. So mm-hmm. I'll sit through a show about tattoos. I'll sit through the show that was hosted by, oh my God, who is the dude from, oh my God, Common, the show about woodworking hosted by Chicago's very own rapper Common.
The rapper.
No. Oh, if only he did. Oh my God, step back.
Common hosted a show about woodworking?
Yes. And it was awesome, but Spike TV pulled it after about half of a season, but it was a great show.
R.I.P. Spike TV.
But it's still, like, my point is, I will watch any competition show that deals with a creative person, whatever medium they're dealing with, a creative person who has to, on the spot, develop something. Sign me up! I've even watched the show that's all about, like, street graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
Sign me up. I will but Blown Away is an amazing art form to watch somebody just uber skilled doing something that I've always wanted to do, but yet there's mystery around it. I find it fascinating. And each episode, a half hour. Which, guess what?
Oh.
It's great because you're in and out.
That's a
but it also stinks. Yes, exactly. I felt like it should be an hour because almost every episode, somebody is dropping the glass or they put it into like this container to like cool it down quicker and it cracks or like the amount of mishaps is crazy.
I don't even know why my brain didn't go there, but and I don't know why that's hilarious to me. I have two things. When you're ready.
Yes.
All right.
Sure. Go
on. One, I feel like this is a wasted opportunity in terms of naming because they really should have had a show about making balloon animals called Blown Away.
Oh, no. And before you ask me, was one of the challenges to make glass eyes for people? No. Another missed opportunity.
Damn. All right.
Was that your second question? Dang it. You answered my second question. Proceed, sir.
No, that show would be called...
Here's Looking at You, Kid?
Yes. I was going to say Sight Unseen.
Or A Wink and a Nod.
He's looking at you.
But no, I highly recommend Blown Away. And to be honest with you, there was multiple times. I'm sure Julie, the cruise director, was sick by the end of hearing me say, man, if I would have known any school that I could have gone to do that, I would have been doing that. Like, I have no artistic talent whatsoever, but there's enough industrial types things that they're doing that really, like, set off sparks in my creativity. Mm-hmm. I'm just so jealous. And it's, I missed my calling. Let's put it that way. I'm 30 years too late.
Have you seen my Thirsty Bastards video in a glass blowing studio?
Man, what, you know, how you slide these things in. Self-promotion machine, Craig Gunderson. Hello!
Not so much because it was a great video, because it was, but also the guy that I visited, he has made his career of just taking beer bottles and reshaping them into other stuff.
Oh, very smart.
Yeah. And I have a whole case of, he can only, like, if you want to preserve the actual label of what's on the bottle, they need to be like the silkscreen printed labels, not, you know, nothing stuck on like paper or stickers or whatever.
Sure.
So like your Surly Darkness, which we were talking about before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any of the stone.
Yeah. Where, or like the Woot Stouts are a good example too, where it's screen printed, or I'm assuming it's silk screen printed, but it's actual ink applied directly onto the glass. He can kind of reshape those into like vases or, like water pitchers and stuff like that.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I've
really
been in the furnace, so to speak.
Dude, I would have thrown on those big ass gloves and got in there and did something. Oh my god. And I know I would do complete crap, but also I think that's an art form that my repetition, I would be teaching myself to become better, where I can't draw a figure and I don't care. You could tell me, but Nick, if you drew a portrait, and you did the same portrait for every day for 5 months, that portrait would be phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
No, I refuse to believe that, because it wouldn't be.
If you,
I can't, I cannot flex that muscle. I just can't. But there's other things that I'm really, really good at. I can be very precise with, and I learn from my mistakes very easily.
If I was the John Lithgow to your John Travolta in this scenario, and I was saying, now, Nick, that balloon animal horse, it's only going to get better if you do 1,000 of them, you'd be like, fuck you, John Lithgow.
No, I could probably learn how to do balloon animals, yes.
See?
I just can't draw, that's the problem.
Like, just apply that to glass.
No, I think I could, my point is, I think I could do that with glass. I can't draw. I don't have that ability to draw. And I don't think that's a teachable art for me. I just don't. I can't figure out perspective, that type of thing. I just can't. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's where the abstractness of doing something with glass or a different medium, like, even I would love to do woodworking, and I think I could possibly do something like that. I just couldn't make it look realistic. I think that's my downfall.
Is that what was going on Common's show, where they were, like, sculpting?
Oh, dude, they were building. I go to the YouTubes and find the episodes. You will be fascinated by it. They'll do stuff that's like little wooden vases, bowls, up to, like, now you have to build, like, the backdrop of a fireplace or a bed, and how would that incorporate into a room? It's fascinating. And to see, like, guys, men and women that just know their shit and they just rip it up. Oh my god, it was a great show.
You know where my sort of preference ends when it comes to these kinds of shows, right?
Food shows?
No. I can really only watch Forged in Fire at this point.
Forged in Fire?
where they're making blades.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. You've told me about that before.
Yeah. And, I mean, I've watched, I've watched with the wife the Project Runway for as much as I can handle.
Sure.
I know you're a big fan of that.
No, I haven't watched it in ages.
We watched Best Top Artist, which I think was only one season, right?
That sounds right.
We watched early seasons of Top Chef, but I guess I don't really have much of a tolerance for these kinds of shows anymore.
Well, this Blown Away is 10 to 12 episodes at a half hour each.
Yeah, that's real short.
Yeah, I think you could survive it, and I think you could get something from just to see the process. Maybe you already saw it with the gentleman that you interviewed.
Ooh,
and had him walk you through it. But it's just seeing the process, I thought, was pretty fascinating. But the show with Common that was on Spike, that show was in 2015, so not that far, not that old. And it was called Framework. I just looked it up.
Framework?
Framework, yeah.
That's terrible.
Hey, they have to do... But I would... That show is fantastic. Fantastic.
It appears my glass blower is not on Blown Away.
Darn it. It was such a good, entertaining show that on my YouTube, I am following the host of that show, as well as I think the college is either Cornwall or Cornell. Not the actual Cornell, but it's like on the is East Coast, but all it is like a university for like glass blowing. That's why I was just like, oh my God, they actually have schools that are dedicated to like the art of glass. What? I was born way too early. That is excellent. But yeah, it's pretty good. I'm good with these type of shows until, and I think I sort of discovered it really early on with Project Runway or like Top Chef, those type of shows, where they lose the focus of we're showing the artisticness of whatever subject matter it is into, all right, now all the people are done for the day and they're going to go back to their, Airbnb, and that's when all the arguing and fighting starts, and that's where we're going to spend half the episode. That's sort of where I lost interest in all those reality competition shows. But this one doesn't. I mean, they do try to weave through, like, wow, that person's being a real dick. And this is how this is how one person's reacting to it.
Vote him off the island.
Right. Is it a long storyline? No. You're in and out. It's a half hour.
Yeah, you can't do a lot in a half an hour.
No, other than show them yelling at their assistants, like, do that quicker! Oh, no! Get it to the kiln! Whatever.
Get it to the kiln.
But I don't, I don't blame, like, dude, when you see some of the stuff they're doing, it's like, no, if these guys are a little temperamental or agitated, look at the work they're doing. Jiminy Christmas, it's sort of justified.
Yeah, I'm not entirely clear on, like how much of it is... I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of projects that, like, take a lot of time and are a lot of delicate work, but it strikes me that there isn't a lot of, like, wasted materials, because it's almost like they're working with, like, melted goo,
Sure.
Which is interesting and cool and stuff, that's a thing, and probably, an absurdly old trade and stuff that they're tapping into, which to me is, the appeal. For some reason it's dumb to think that they're, starting over isn't that big of a deal, but I'm sure it is.
It's sort of like you look at like the art of like wood blocks and you look at like the history of that, and like the creating like posters for whatever, and now somebody can just jump on a computer and do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you find somebody who actually, an artist who's still using a medium that isn't taken over by computers or technology.
Oh, like if there was a 3D printer for glass blowing.
Yes. Or can they just do exactly the same, but it's all automated and like the air isn't coming from a human. It's just put in artificially and things are turned at the perfect time and the perfect speed to know the temperature of that. Like all of a sudden we're making the exact same bowl over and over again.
Robots taking our jobs.
Oh, speaking of that, oh, my next topic. Thank you for the lead in, sir.
Okay, go.
Follow Craig Gunderson at thirstybastards.com. I'll give you credit on that one. Bing,
down
bing.
The robotic rabbit hole.
That is exactly what I wanted to go into next. I got a game this month, which the month is going to be over by the time people hear it, but I have been touting its praises for the last month on PlayStation Network because the PS Plus game that is free this month is from David Cage, the one and only, my love, David Cage, hello, kiss kiss, on the cheek because he's French, and it is, oh my god, it's so good, Detroit Beyond Human.
Aha!
And it is a, just like his previous games, it is a almost a choose-your-own-adventure. This game is set in 2038, future Detroit. And you play five different characters. So there's five different stories going on, and they're all like intersecting each other. And you play as androids for a couple of the characters. You play as humans for a couple of the characters. And it is all just that. It is androids taking people's jobs. Yes. And the reaction of humans is their sentient life is, even though the androids can't feel, they don't have emotions, but they're developing beyond their owner's preferences and their owner's instructions.
Blade Runner-y.
Very much so. But it is fascinating. Parts of it are a little cheesy, I won't lie. But a lot, all the David Cage games that I've played, they're all similar like that. There's parts of it that are fascinating. But then there's parts of it that are like, that's a little hokey. But I fall in love with his games. His Heavy Rain is, I mean, okay, Detroit Beyond Human, that is, I would call it like a police procedural.
Because
you are playing as a detective trying to solve this like murder. Beyond Two Souls is very sci-fi. And his game Heavy Rain, that was like you're chasing down a serial killer. But they're all very choose-your-own-adventure, except I will say Detroit Beyond Human. This is the first one that at the end of each chapter, you get this like layout, and it shows all the choices and all the deviations and all, if you would have chosen this, then this would have happened, and they don't give you solutions. They don't give you how it, like the flowchart doesn't show you everything that you didn't pick, you just see question marks. But the flowchart's fascinating because if you have, it's, when you're talking to somebody, it'll give you like multiple things that you could do. So if there were like, you're walking around a room and you see a bookcase, you could choose a Shakespeare, you could choose, you know, and there's like four different options. But at the end of each chapter, during this flowchart, you'll see the names of those four books because you had those four choices, and it will give you the world percentage of who chose what. And it's fascinating to, like, when there was this one part where an android is asking for like they want to have reproduction. They want to be represented. They want to own housing and land. And out of those three choices, you make your choice, and it's fascinating to see, like, wow, only 18% chose reproduction.
Is it for that character or for the android race?
In that instance, it was the android talking to the entire world. Yeah, but there's consequence. The interesting thing is, okay, I'm playing it with Julie the Curry's director watching it. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things, like, she sat through a few games. She's not a gamer. She's not really interested, but she loves sci-fi. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, this is sort of sci-fi. Maybe we could play it. And Sunday afternoon, she was like, yeah, why don't you fire it up? Let's see. Or no, it was Saturday. Sorry. It was Saturday. So we sat there for like 3 hours, and I wanted, like, she's listening, and then when the like three or four items pop up, I'll read them to her, and then she'll make the decision.
Do you make an android voice when you read it?
No, because the whole point is when these selections come up, especially when it's like, how do you want to respond back to a person? Do you want to be humorous? Do you want to be agitated? Do you want, and they'll give you like four choices, and below those choices is a status bar that's counting down. And if you let that flow all the way down, they choose the first choice, the top choice. So I read them to her quickly, and then I have her make a snap decision without really thinking through it. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of exciting to be like, oh boy, you messed up that decision. Oh my God, why would you choose that? And she's like, I don't know. Oh my God, why would an android say that? Oh my God. And the interesting, because I knew I was going to do this with her just because it would engage her a little bit, and it does. It gets. I was tense and nervous at like three of the points in the game because I've played two David Cage games. When shit goes down, people can die. You make the wrong decision, you'll die, go back to a checkpoint, or that character will just die, and you become the partner of that character. Or in this game, if your android dies, then all of a sudden you become version 3, because, spoiler alert, the android that's the police officer, the very first scene, for me, he died. Oh. So all of a sudden, my android goes into this little...
incubator?
This little... No, you don't even know that. It just, like, the story continues on with another character.
And you don't know?
You have no idea what the hell happened. But the next time you're him, you're in this, like, I guess you would call it a Zen garden. Mm-hmm. But you can tell it's not reality. Like, it doesn't look like, you know, that faux VR, that type of thing.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like that. It looks real. But then you walk across bridges, and the bridges are, like, matrixed out a little bit.
Mm.
So then you realize, okay, this must be in his head. And he's walking around, and you get this, like, little prompt that pops up on the right-hand side. You walk over to it, and it says examine. So you do the right joystick, because the right joystick does all of the, all of the character's motions on it. So if you need to open up like a car door, it'll take the right stick and it will go down, and then you have to like circle to the right to unlock like a door. So then it says like examine, you walk up and you swipe down so he kneels, and you read this little like plaque, and it says your name, when he died, and it says like Connor Marcus and then parentheses 1. So all of a sudden, you're 2. And it's like, wow, that's pretty... Because I didn't know what the hell... Like, in my head, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. The way that android died, I don't know. Maybe they bring him into an android garage and, like, you know, zip, 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 and the android's out walking about. No, it just replants its, like, thoughts and memories into another android, into another shell. But it's interesting because they also play around with if you're having problems with your android, you can bring him in and it I'm telling you, the place looks like an Apple store. You, where you buy them and where you bring them, very, like, disinfectant white, like, you know, it's very clean design. And you can bring your Android in and have them reset, like you'd reset a computer. So all of a sudden, that Android's memory is wiped. And it begs the questions of, like, should you be doing that to an Android? Should you? And it's really fascinating. They even went through, I want to get this right, but you'll have news broadcasts, and one of them was talking about the first Android-written book.
Oh.
And it was, do mammalian sheep really dream of androids? I know. I was like, oh, that's clever. Okay. But I'm telling you, even with the semi-grownish, this game's free on PSN for the rest of the month, and it is a real treat. And there were points, because, oh, back to the, like, choosing and knowing I'm doing this with my wife. There's two different difficulties, and one is, like, you don't really care about achievements, you don't really care, you just want to enjoy the story. And then the normal one is there are consequences to your actions, characters could die, are you okay with that? So I chose, you know, the easy peasy one, because I wanted to have, and I, to be honest with you, I chose that knowing that there were going to be dialogue choices that I wanted to go over with my wife, and I was hoping that the status bar was not going to be there, because I sort of wanted to talk to her about it.
Sure.
No, that status bar is there, but there was two fights that I had that they wanted you to, and there are, like, button prompts that you're doing, but nothing, like, too crazy, but it is like watching an interactive movie. But there were a couple fight scenes where I accidentally hit the wrong buttons quite a few times in both.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure on normal setting, my dudes would have been gone. They would have been toast. But luckily I survived. Like, luckily I put it down to beginner and I survived that. But it's really, really fun. Really fascinating.
I see Lance Henriksen is in this.
Yes, he is.
I do remember when the trailer for this came out. I don't know how old this game is, but we were watching...
came out last year.
Okay. Because we were watching the Following, and I remembered that the woman who plays Kara, I remember her being in that. I'm like, wait a minute, that looks just like that actress from The Following. But I'm looking at the screenshots, I'm like, ah, how come Lance Henriksen doesn't get top billing on this?
There's four or five people that I definitely recognize in this game. It's well worth a sit down. I think you'd enjoy it. And there's also, sadly, there's also, like, when you click to see world stats on the flowchart, there also is another button that you can click just to see what your friends have done.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, I don't have any friends that have played it, so it's 100% all of my stuff.
Uh-huh.
But my guess is if you played it, then you would see, oh, I did this and Nick did that. And that would be fascinating. And to be honest with you, like, I'm 2/3 of the way done. I have a third left. Played it Saturday, played it Sunday. And the wife does not want me to play 1 second without her. And she's already said... three times that there's three chapters that, oh, Nick, we have to go back and play those chapters.
Oh.
She said it three times because she's like, we have to make the right choice. We messed that up. Yeah. Because they even said you could do it now. Like, you could replay that chapter now, but they said we would recommend you playing through the entire game before revisiting a chapter. So you could, but... that's what I love about it, because it is choose your own adventure, but there's consequences to it. And all of his games are like that. That's what's great. Like, I love the right stick. I love doing all the, like, motions with the right stick. There, it isn't like, oh my God, it's Call of Duty. Like, it isn't, your immersion is in the story. Your immersion is in the choices you're making, not in like, oh my God, the gunplay is fantastic. Like, I wish there was no gunplay. I wish there was no violence. It is a choose your own adventure book.
I definitely am intrigued by just interactive storytelling. Like, that is, it sounds like that's what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to the extent that you would almost stop calling it a game.
Yeah, it's like those game. It's like Myst. If Myst was more of a store, like a walking, talking universe type story, it's mm-hmm. more like that. But where are those games nowadays? They're so hard to find because they don't sell. So, but this one's for free. Like I've tried to push people into Beyond Two Souls. I've tried to push people into Heavy Rain, but the way I'm describing stuff, how many people are going to be like, oh, that's on sale, let me buy that? No, because there's always something else you could buy for another game that you own. So I can't blame anyone.
What was the one from the free one from last month that was kind of like this?
I don't know. Do not know.
Because the wife saw that and she was like, oh, yeah, I could get into that. Like, I showed her the trailer for it and she's like, oh, yeah, I could get into that.
Oh, cool. Maybe I missed it.
No pun intended.
Hmm. But yeah, that's what I've been up to. That's what I've been doing.
Mm.
Ish. Mm. What about you, good sir?
I watched some trailers, Nick.
Oh, good segue. Speaking of segues.
It was a good week for trailers. What with SDCC and that?
Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of San Diego mm-hmm. Comic-Con. Have you guys ever done, like, an awards show?
We did something similar, but not really an award show.
I think that would be cool. Like, give it the Oscar treatment.
But it's San Diego Comic-Con?
But, like, you know, you look at the nominees, and you go your separate ways, and you read them, and you talk about them, and then come back and talk about, like, which one you think is going to win, or what impressed you about the nominees and that kind of thing. That'd be cool.
You mean based on the Eisners?
Yeah.
Well, right now, my 4 months of Eisners would have been taken up with old Superman titles. Would that count?
No. That's just summer reading.
Hashtag Summer of Soups, Pally.
Summer of Soups will have started well after the nominees have been announced.
That's true. That's very true. Maybe we could just have guests come on and describe these books.
Yeah, everybody takes awesome. A category. That'd be cool.
That'd be good. I'll assign you half the categories. Go.
I could come back for that if Martin Umami would have me.
We'll see how it goes. You never know. You're still on probation.
I know. These are my podcast milk teeth.
Yes, they are.
What did you like in the trailers this week, Nick?
Well, Pally, I gotta say, I sort of fell in love with the Picard trailer.
Oh, where do you want to start?
Anywhere you want to.
I will preface everything about that by saying I am not much of a Trekkie.
Oh?
I mean, I appreciate the show, and I feel like I could jump in and watch any episode and enjoy it. But, you know, have I watched everything? Oh, goodness, no. Do I get excited? Like, have I watched, like, entire seasons of a single show in the canon? No, not at all. Have I tried to learn Klingon? Yes.
Who doesn't?
But that's just the concept of, like, they made a language for a fictional show. Why the hell wouldn't I want to have a little Klingon in my back pocket?
When you were taking swashbuckling sword fighting,
mm-hmm.
did you dress up as Captain Kirk with that sash?
No. But no. I did blind an enemy with gunpowder. that I foraged for the sulfur.
No, I love Picard. Oh my gosh.
Oh my god, it's such an awesome idea for a show, and I'm so glad that he was like on board for it.
Mm-hmm. I liked all the guest surprises. Don't even know if I need them because all the new characters seem really engaging.
I thought that the female lead was Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones, and then I was really disappointed when it wasn't.
Ah,
but you're totally right. Like 7 of 9, I was just like, yeah, she's not, her last work that I have seen is not going to be Psych, Jeri Ryan.
Yay!
Let's not leave that as the pushpin. And then I really like the idea, and I don't know if this is where they're going with it, but they showed him playing cards with Data, and oh. I kind of got the feeling that the reason that they only showed his head is because that's the only part of him that he's interacting with.
That'd be fun.
So just the idea that, like, Picard just takes a minute every once in a while and he consults the head of Data is awesome.
I hope that's the title of the episode.
Consult the head of Data.
Yes.
But yeah, I even got a little misty on that.
I got goosebumpy. Yeah. I even told the wife to. I'm like, thank God you're far enough away from me that you don't see the goosebumps that are on my arms.
I mean, no slight to Scott Bakula, but I haven't been excited about a Star Trek show in a long time until I saw this.
Ooh, will that mean that you're going to sign up for CBS All Access?
I don't know.
Because you have two seasons of Star Trek to watch if you do.
I definitely heard how you and Martin approached it and that and the cancellation process.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, that gives me a little bit of pause. Sure. But, I mean, if this is any indication, it would be well worth it.
Well, it's not out until, what, 2021?
2020, I think. I don't know. It just said soon in 2020.
Oh, okay. Well, then, my point is, those two seasons will still be sitting there whenever you put down your money for CBS.
Sure, and when they don't make their money back, they'll stream them on other services.
I'm sure you can buy the DVDs or buy them digitally down the road, yes.
But, like, how awesome is it that he was, like, even up for doing that show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like that was... Like, is he going to go the Alzheimer route that he did with Wolverine? That would be interesting. I would like to see that. Would I like it all in his head? That would be great.
How much are they just absolutely dying to have done some kind of reveal that included William Shatner?
I hope none.
Oh, buddy.
Come on.
Like... Don't rule that out. Like, they might have just kept that in their back pocket.
I'll take Troy coming for a visit. How about that?
Don't forget, they've met.
Yes, I know. But I'd really like to see Deanna Troy show up.
Of course you would.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Next trailer, Nick?
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. This one I couldn't even find, other than idiot talking heads that were talking over the trailer, and it drove me crazy. YouTube, you let me down. Oh, Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
That's right. Fly me to the danger zone. That's right. Playing with the boys. Oh, I got the need for speed. Oh, my God.
If we were in person, we would have done the... In the air, high five, and then swung back down and did a really low high five.
And then we would have taken off our shirts, oiled each other up, and ran out and played some volleyball. With mirrored sunglasses. Let's do it.
To Kenny Loggins.
Hell yeah. Oh, my God. I am so excited. Just the little bit of the scene of him going upside down and watching the ground under, like, even just that was enough to be like, yep, and knowing how much Tom Cruise loves to fly, I'm like, I bet you anything, part of this, he's flying. There's no way he isn't like, put me in that jet. Let's go. I'm Tom Cruise, damn it.
I feel like it doesn't even matter what it's about.
No.
And it could just be, like, the trailer, but, like, an hour and a half long.
Oh, I can't.
And there's
wait.
No story, and he gets chewed out by Ed Harris for not yes. advancing his career in a meaningful way.
Ed Harris looking old as dirt, but looking so awesome.
Who, you know, he's kind of like, even I parlayed my career into a painting like Jackson Pollock. You could have done something by now.
Oh, I can't wait. But do you know the director did Tron Legacy and Tom Cruise Oblivion?
What was Oblivion?
This is a futuristic sci-fi film.
I know a lot of people had issues with Legacy, but I really enjoyed it.
Hey, my point is, at least he can direct action.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, any of the trailers that we're talking about, I know nothing going into them, but, like, I thought I saw a headline that there was a lot of, I don't want to say, like, special effects advances, but that they were doing some fancy new gimmicks in order to make the flying look real and stuff.
Cool.
So,
I like it.
You know, bringing the new technology to it and stuff, and to your need for speed, but you know, it did inspire me to go and look and see what Kelly McGillis was doing right now.
Well, Miles Teller taking over the underling under Tom Cruise, that mm-hmm. sounds good. Having Iceman back, Mr. Val Kilmer. Oh, I'm sure he'll goodness. Be puffy Val Kilmer, but it still doesn't matter.
Will
I'll take
he,
him.
Or is this what inspires him to get back into Iceman shape?
I hope he does. I don't know.
I hope so, too, because I keep picturing that image of him in, like, half a wetsuit, like, sitting on the side of, like, the beach or a pool or something, and I'm just like, no, Iceman, no!
Or will he just be, like, underneath a desk and all you see is his hair and his eyes? Maverick, I'll be right with you. I'm trying to find this pen, but let's do this entire scene with just my eyes.
It's just his teeth, because he's got to do that, like, chomping in Tom Cruise's face with the gum.
That's very true. The one thing I do want to know, will Jennifer Connelly be Tom Cruise's love interest?
I would assume so.
I would assume so, too.
Is she the Air Force brat who finally tames his heart and gets him to take himself seriously enough to accept that promotion?
Or will she be the, my mom, you know her, Kelly McGinnis, and then they flash a picture of her. Bing! Shout out, bing! Dad! But I'm Maverick, I'm not your dad.
Oh, you think she's the illegitimate child of him and call sign... Oh, what was your call sign? Damn it. Charlie. Call sign Charlie?
Would that make it more realistic? Yes. Does Tom Cruise does he completely think he's still 32 years old? Yes. And that should be his love interest? Yes.
I want to point out, they showed it very quickly. There does seem to be some sort of drunken barroom sing-along.
Hell yeah. Of course. You know what? Why don't just take out the word sing-along?
Which word? Take out which word?
Take out sing-along, or actually, take out barroom.
Uh-huh.
And insert movie theater, because that's what we'll be doing. When they're doing that, hell yeah! Playing with the boys!
I so wanted that to be our opening song.
Highway to the danger zone.
Can we talk a little bit about what the original meant to us in as youths?
You mean how confused we were? Like, wait, these are cool guys, right? Even though guys don't oil themselves up and play shirtless volleyball. What? What's going on here? What?
I just mean, like, how many times did you ride your bike to the mall to go see it?
Oh, buddy. It was.
Like me, have the soundtrack on cassette?
Yes. Did I wear short jean short, cut-off jean shorts while mowing the lawn playing either Def Leppard Pyromania or the Top Gun soundtrack? Yes.
With Spider-Man dog tags around your neck?
Oh, my God. If only. I could never be cool enough to wear those mirrored sunglasses, though. I knew my dork status even back then.
Yeah, but I never owned a pair of aviators.
Yeah, same here. I just couldn't pull it off. I'm not that cool. I'm not cool enough. Sorry.
And even when I lived across the street from a sand volleyball court, I couldn't bring myself to play.
No?
No.
Dang it. But I'll do Need for Speed. I'll do the high five, low five anytime somebody wants me to, even to this day. Hit me up, C2E2 2020.
I can't remember a specific incident, but I do feel like I've whipped you in the ass with a towel before.
Oh, I hope. Oh, my God. Who doesn't do that? Come on now. It was such a great movie. Yeah. I even told my wife while we're watching it, I was like, do you want to know where I was and what movie theater I was and what day it was when I went to go see this film? Because I can tell you all that even now. My God, it was so good.
I feel like this is the same summer as Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
I can still tell you, I can give you all that information for Pee-wee's Big Adventure, too.
Right? 86.
And did I enjoy either of those movies with any friends? No. It was me riding to the mall. Gotta watch it.
It was 85 for Pee-wee's Big Adventure and 86 for Top Gun.
Those are two good summers right there,
though. That explains, that might have been the threshold I crossed through. It's like, so long, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I'm a Top Gun man now.
I'm going to go see movies with girls. No one's seeing Pee-wee, but they'll see Tom Cruise with me. See ya, young Gundy.
So long, Dottie. I'm a call sign Charlie man now.
So long, nerd. I'm going to be meeting all the girls now.
Good luck on your paper route, wimp.
Then you kick sand from the sand volleyball court in young Gunderson's face. Come on! We were still listening to Pyromania just 2 weeks ago. Get out of here, kid. But G.I. Joe's on Channel 9. It's 3 o'clock. Get out of here, nerd. Come on! All right, just G.I. Joe, but don't you dare tell anyone.
Okay, I won't. And only the Striker episodes.
But we'll still watch A-Team, because that's cool guy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. That I cannot wait. I am so pumped. We might have to go see that together, just to let you know.
I took some notes. My only note for Maverick was, does it matter what it's about?
No. Could he be flying over Tyrak? Does he need to do something in Cuba? Yeah, sure, whatever. Or could he just be test flying a new jet in a mountain range? I don't care. Whatever.
I did get the feeling that he's kind of a guinea pig, because there's one scene where he's wearing like a low oxygen suit or something, like he's dipping his pinky toe into astronaut.
Ooh. Or will Miss Marvel, Carol Danvers, fly by with that flaming mohawk suit of hers? And give him a wink, like we're both Marvel. Wink, wink.
Come on. This is real life. Stop it.
No, come on, guys. You have your own universe. Get out of here. Okay.
Next trailer, Nick.
Oh, my God. This one, you couldn't have been more right with. Mother effer. A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, starring Tom Hanks as Mr. Fred Rogers. The only note that Gundy gave to me ahead of time was, do you want to see me cry? Here's the trailer we can watch. And you know what just happened when I watched that trailer for the first time?
Oh. Oh.
I cried like a little baby.
My gosh.
Oh, my God. It hits every... It was so tone perfect.
I'm assuming that you saw the documentary.
Yes.
I will say, when I heard that this was being made and that I heard the casting choice,
mm-hmm.
I was pretty disappointed that Jim Parsons would not be playing Fred Rogers.
Oh.
You know who he is, right?
Yeah.
Because to me, whenever I hear him outside of the nerd show, I don't even remember what it's called. His affect and just the way he talks and stuff, I hear Fred Rogers, and sure. I feel like he can pull him off visually and stuff. But then seeing the trailer, I was like, oh, okay, I get it, because it's later in his career, later in his life.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, you know, Jim Parsons still pretty young. You know, could they age him up? Sure. But, you know, still Hank's good choice.
Not to poo-poo what you just said. I don't care if it's a 22-year-old Fred Rogers. I can suspend disbelief because it's Tom Hanks.
But it's based on a true story, Nick. We got to get the era right.
Tom Hanks can do anything. He can do no wrong. Unless he does a stupid Illuminati movie, then he does wrong. No, it looks so wonderful. Oh, God. I want to go watch the documentary again.
Oh, so ingrained in my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And... even just watching the trailer for the documentary, the trailer for this and stuff, just so choked up. Just taking me right back to simpler times.
Yes, yes, yes. That's going to be a tearjerker. I think it's going to be such a tearjerker. And the strange thing is, I don't think Julie the cruise director is that much... I don't think Fred Rogers was burned into her memory like it mm-hmm. is mine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if she would even want to see this film. So I might be going to see it by myself.
Oh.
I know. I know. She just doesn't have any box of memories to put that in.
Have you been watching, probably not because I think it's a Showtime show, but have you watched the Jim Carrey show Kidding?
Nope. Because it's a Showtime show.
It's very much like this is what Mr. Rogers would be like if, you know, his life wasn't great.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And, like, he was getting a divorce, and he's, like, you know, has a tough time connecting to his kids and stuff like that.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm.
But still just as much heart. Like, Carrie is amazing on that.
Well, When things change in my personal life and I have a few shekels in the pocket, maybe I will grab Showtime because there's quite a few documentaries on Showtime I want to catch too. So
the other note I had was when they first show Tom Hanks coming into the studio, coming down the steps, and he's changing his shoes and he's mm-hmm. doing his spiel, I couldn't shake the feeling of it being an SNL skit. Like,
you
Tom
mean
Hanks.
Eddie Murphy as Gumby doing it?
No. Just Tom Hanks is on SNL playing Mr. Rogers, and you know he's doing it straight for the first, you know, 60 seconds before things get hilarious. But, like, I had a really tough time taking him seriously just because I could very easily see him doing that on SNL, you know?
I could see that being done, too. And the backdrop of the Mr. Rogers neighborhood. Certainly, they had that pretty pitch perfect, because it, God, does it look cheap and old.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like put together with duct tape.
But I got real teary when they show him opening the suitcase and the two puppets are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Striped Tiger's laying there next to King Friday. Mm. And then even that at the end of the trailer when everybody sings to him on the subway, you know that totally happened.
Did it?
Oh, it did.
Okay. I could see that happening anywhere on the street for sure. But it's hard for me to imagine he's taking a subway.
Oh, are you kidding me? Have you ever looked at the Instagram account Subway Creatures?
No, I do not.
There's every once in a while they'll do an update, when they do, like, I don't know what they call that, where it's a series of images, and it's mm-hmm. just images of celebrities that are taking the subway.
Oh, okay.
You would be shocked. I'm trying to pull it up right now. I feel like, come on.
Well, it's certainly, I mean, my point is, it wasn't, even if that didn't ever happen, it certainly did not feel like flight of fantasy. Like,
right,
there's no way, wherever he went, whatever store he's in, there's no way he wasn't bombarded with a group of people, one person starting the song, and then everybody chiming in. There's no... If I was in a store today and I heard somebody singing that song, it'd be really hard not to chime in and sing right. along.
So, Subway Creatures from June 17th. Mm-hmm. Six images. First one, Mandy Patinkin.
Okay, I believe that, sure, with the beard.
Second one looks like one of the Gallagher brothers from Oasis. I'm not sure who that is.
Well, he probably just lives in that subway station, let's be honest.
Third one is Kate McKinnon.
Wow. What? Why? What? Why would
She's
she?
Listening
what?
Very intently to something, cradling a cup of coffee and an umbrella.
Good God. Kate.
Fourth one is, I forget this guy's name. Oh, it's killing me. I'm going on to the fifth one. Fifth one is Matthew Broderick.
I could see that, too. He's Mr. New York, so.
Sixth one, Colin Quinn.
I could see that.
What is this guy's name? It's killing me.
Rob Zombie.
He was a bad guy in...
Steven Seagal.
No, Steven Seagal only plays good guys. Pass. Anyway.
Okay.
Celebrities do ride the subway, Nick.
That's frightening to me.
But hey, like Matthew Broderick.
Yes, which he's in. Just a rope back around. He is in the season of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Oh, he was also in. What were we watching? Better Things. He was on the season of Better Things.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
He looked pretty good.
I thought you were going to say Game of Thrones. And I would have totally believed you because I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Yes.
He
played the mouse and he was trapped in a dungeon.
I'll challenge
you to name that film.
I heard season 3, he broke out of a dragon's egg and flew away. And that also was a reason that I said, no, thank you, I'm out. Craig Gunderson, let's move on to the one. This is, I mean, don't get me wrong. The three before it, stellar picks.
Mm-hmm.
This one?
Mm-hmm.
This one might be the movie of the summer.
Ooh.
Good Boys from... Seth Rogen.
Now, you insisted that I watch the red, what?
The Red Band trailer.
Red Band. What is this Red Band, and why is it different?
Red Band trailers are trailers that might be put in front of R-rated movies. Because
Paul Giamatti.
What?
Paul Giamatti was riding the subway.
Okay, great.
Red Band trailers
There are trailers that are put in front of hard R films because, or they might just be released online at this point. Because they might have profanity, there might be quick nudity, or situations or drug use. Adult situations or drug use.
That's interesting because my only note about this film is F-bombs do not equal comedy.
I will disagree. Good Boys, F-bombs equal comedy.
Oh my gosh, so many F-bombs.
Yes, yes there is.
And so many kids dropping F-bombs.
Yeah. Are you taking up Julie the Cruise director's only comment to all of the trailers that we sat through today? And her comment was, I can't believe that the parents of these kids would allow them to be in this movie.
I do wonder.
And I had to pause the trailer and shoot her the look of like, are you freaking kidding me right now? And I'm like, they're in a major Hollywood film. Kids that age say this stuff. Kids that age, boys specifically, are in those situations. I was that boy right there. And she's like, I can't believe the parents would let them say all that, would let them curse like that.
As a child actor, I feel like you have to sign a special waiver that says, I allow someone with a squeaky voice similar to mine to dub in the profanity that I'm not allowed to say because of California laws.
OMG. Oh my God, get out of here with that. But I thought, I mean, if anybody was going to sign up for this, I thought you'd be putting two shekels in. This is terrible. I don't even know who I'm talking to.
I'm not Craig withholding
shekels. Get off the podcast.
I'm not.
Where's the mute button?
My shekels are freely available to this film. I was just surprised. Like, I want the comedy to stand up on its own without all the F-bombs.
Oh, come on. Boys talk like that. Stop
I
the
talk
madness.
Like that. Except Stop on the madness. Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore. But
yes, please don't.
There's no reason that many F-bombs need to be in the trailer to sell me on this film.
It's the Red Band trailer. It's get this. Guess what?
I should have watched the Green Band trailer.
Guess what? I would say this is giving you exactly what this film is. Instead of giving you instead of presenting something that doesn't have the F-bombs in it.
I'm not saying that it's just as funny when a kid falls into the pool and says, "What the fudging fudge? Why did you fudging throw me in the fudging pool?" But there's still room in there for a good line.
I can't believe that we've spent 3 minutes talking about the F-bombs. This is effing crazy.
Me and Julie, the cruise director, maybe took a shekel back.
Oh my God, you're killing me. Killing me!
It looks very funny. It looks very funny. And
I am those kids. I am the kid in the middle of the highway. I am. Absolutely. At 10 years old? Are you kidding me?
You never did any of this cool stuff.
No, no, no. I'm saying I have the same temperament as the kid that gets trapped in the middle of the highway and says, just leave me here to die. That was me at 10 years old. I am the kid.
That was you at 28.
That was me 10 minutes ago. But the one part, especially, like, I am the older brother. You are the older brother.
True.
How did you ever figure out how to kiss somebody? How did you, this is without the internet. Oh. How, like, would I have loved to go up to somebody and, like, internet, how do you kiss a girl? Click, click, click.
Wait, is that how the internet works for you right now? You
yes!
walk up to somebody and you go, doink, doink, internet.
Yes, but I just loved, I loved that they looked it up online. I love that you don't have to see what happened, but of course it was god-awful porno. I love that they had the CPR doll and they were touching it. I loved all of that. That was so funny to me. I just hope, to be honest with you, and I will say, the attitude of the Red Band trailer with all the F-bombs, tons of comedy in it. I laughed quite a few times. And then I also, there was a couple times where I giggled to myself because I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want Julie, the cruise director, to be like, who did I marry? Who is this guy? But
like she hadn't done that already.
Exactly. I'm lucky to have her. But I'm worried. The movie that I want from this, and I don't think they're going to give it to me, is like 16 Candles. That was lewd for its time.
Mm-hmm.
That pushed the boundaries of like tasteful comedy at points. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, that movie still had heart.
Sure.
And I don't know. I didn't see anything in this that tells me that there's going to be heart.
Of course not. It's a trailer. They're not going to sell you.
Heart. But that's what I want. I want to be able like the caressing of the doll. Like I wanted something like I don't want it always to be one of his buddies. Like we're going to tell a joke. And you're the butt of the joke. You're the butt of the joke. You're the butt of... You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I want something there to be like, ah, there we go. There, like, Will Forte is one of the boy's brothers. Even mm-hmm. if he, like, son, sit down. Let's, like, and then they have a gentle moment there. Even that would be A-okay. But, and I know I don't expect it in the trailer. I'm just saying this is what I'm hoping that this movie has instead of... Just like, let's go for the crude, like, whoop, like even American Pie, tons of crude behavior and humor, mm-hmm. but there was sensitive moments there, whether they landed or not, doesn't matter. They tried to add them.
Go back and watch the trailer for Superbad and see how much heart was in that.
I never watched the movie.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, never seen it.
Oh, no. Oh.
No, I mean, no.
I mean, this is just, it's been, I don't know, maybe 10 years. Uh-huh. It's been long enough. We need another Superbad. That's what this is.
Well, it's by the same creative producers, so yeah.
Exactly.
Which, guess what? Maybe I have to watch Superbad. And then if there is no, like, gentle, like, heartfelt moment.
That's my point.
Okay,
there
good.
Is.
Good, good, good.
They're just not going to put it in the trailer for your sensitive nipples.
I'm just saying. I think that's fantastic. I loved every situation about it. The CPR doll had me rolling.
That was great.
And I was just like, Liz, this is 10-year-old boys. This is what we do. This is what we think of. This is what we do. And if you don't think the internet hasn't corrupted every 10-year-old boy, you're crazy.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Jiminy Christmas.
We've been watching, I think I mentioned this in two episodes ago, we've been watching Euphoria on HBO.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, oh my God, teenage boys are monsters.
Every teenage boy should be locked in a room. What the hell?
I mean, that's the only thing that hasn't changed.
Yeah. We're deviants.
Yes. Hormone-riddled monsters, just mm-hmm. like I was.
But I heard great things about Euphoria, though.
Oh, it's a great show. It's amazing.
Yeah, I heard there's so many cringeworthy moments, but
so
after
good.
All the...
I don't have children.
But after the cringeworthy moments, it's fascinating to watch.
Oh, it's so well-filmed.
But I did hear, I was listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, and they were talking about it. And you tell me if this is pretty accurate. They said it's so cringeworthy that there's no way that this can be binge-worthy.
Oh, I disagree. I mean, it, you know, the way the story, you know, gets around and stuff. I mean, there's still the cliffhangers. You're still dying to know what happens next. And there's plenty of, like, reveals. And you're just like, I can't believe I just saw that. What's next? You know?
I guess they were looking at it like it's so dark.
You overdose on it?
Yeah, that you have to put it down for a little bit.
I think they do a pretty good job of spooning that stuff out in a way that it doesn't get overwhelming.
Mm.
But
I heard it's beautiful, though.
Yes, and really good soundtrack, too.
Yeah, I have to check that out. Yeah, the last couple things I watched on HBO was the Andre the Giant documentary, which was
so good.
Fascinating. And I watched the Bird and Magic Johnson documentary.
Oh.
Which...
Did they mention the Commodore 64 game? Because that's my jumping on point.
No, but they did mention their commercial as well as... it was great because they interviewed both of them. So to hear how Magic perceived a situation compared to Larry Bird, so different. But it's really good. For an hour and a half, it was great. And the Gary Shandling the two-part documentary, I needed my fancy hanky quite a few times during that.
Oh, because you ran out of tissues?
No, I just used my hanky.
It was just more available?
Yeah, yeah. Hit you hard.
Do we have time for one more trailer, Nick?
Yes, of course. Of course we do. But first, Craig Gunderson, a musical interlude. Memories. And that is for, oh my God, The Cats. Is this a documentary? Please tell me it's a documentary. Oh. The trailer for Cats. I knew what this was going to be, but I wanted Craig Gunderson's opinion of what this was going to be.
I have, full disclosure, I have minimal exposure to the Cats franchise. Probably the most, like, what I would base anything that I know about Cats on is any TV commercial that they might have had for it. But also,
what? You're not a T.S. Eliot head?
I own some T.S. Eliot, but I don't believe he has. I don't believe that ever got published as it's. Oh, wait, it's based on a poem, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then, so the poem came, and then the Broadway musical. There's an episode of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt where Titus joins the cast of Cats. And it's amazing. And I hope that that's what, I hope that's what Cats is all about.
You're not an Andrew Lloyd Webber head?
No, I'm really not.
Doesn't hit the spot?
No, so all my notes are really sort of technical.
Sure.
For example, I don't remember ever seeing a commercial or any portrayal of Cats, even if it was like on The Simpsons or something like that, where they were cat-sized and the furniture is big.
Mm. So they were just the size of humans.
Yeah, and they're prancing around, and maybe there's a garbage can nearby, and the garbage can is human-sized relative to the cats themselves.
Well, you know, that's sort of how the Andrew Lloyd Webber play was.
Okay, but what I'm seeing in this film, they're dancing around on couches that are gigantic.
Yeah. T-Swift doing her best.
I just thought she was, like, blowing bubbles out of a catnip bottle.
Yeah. What else do you want T-Swift to do? Come on, catnip.
I don't know. I have zero expectations for what she brings to the cat's table. Which
Rebel Wilson doing a pratfall? Who would have thought? Who would have thought? I mean, that Rebel Wilson. She's a cut-up.
Are they in costumes, or have they had their faces projected onto CGI cat humanoids?
I don't know the answer to that, but I'm
guessing. What's your impression from that trailer?
My impression is they're all in cat suits wearing makeup.
Because I even feel like their faces were moving around differently from how than they're prancing.
And are you saying James Corden isn't out there doing his dance? And
Yeah, I'm saying that.
I hope you're wrong. If that's the case, why is anyone seeing Cats? Because I don't even know if these people are actually singing, other than Jennifer Lawrence.
What it reminded me of is the Clutch. I can't even say it without laughing. The Clutch Cargo special effect, where it was a mouth, a human mouth, projected onto the cartoon.
I hope it isn't that.
Only with their whole faces on CGI anthropomorphic cats.
God, I hope that is, I hope you're wrong, because I don't want to believe that. Because I need to know
if that's the impression you got.
No, I didn't get that impression at all. I told you my impression, that they're in cat suits.
Okay.
Because I don't want to live in a world where Judi Dench isn't in a cat suit. No, thank you, good sir.
I'm not saying they spend zero time in cat suits.
But are you saying Magneto doesn't look great in a cat suit?
Because
that Ian McKellen ripped it up.
Oh, I have an Ian McKellen note.
Of course you do.
I remember a friend of the show, Amy, telling me a story about how Ian McKellen like broke down on the set of one of the Hobbit movies, one of the Lord of the Rings movies, because he couldn't actually be on set with anybody because of the size difference. So he was constantly in green screen and interacting with nobody.
You mean like boxes that were painted green?
Sure. And acting to, you know, in response to some, you know, somebody else reading the lines or whatever, but not like really breaking down because this isn't what he got into acting to do. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, welcome to green screen land, Ian McKellen, because this is what Cats is all about.
Well,
only now you don't get to enjoy the New Zealand countryside.
Will we get Ian McKellen singing and dancing?
Oh, he's a treasure in that regard. I don't know if he'll be in a cat suit.
In your notebook, do you have any notes on Jason Derulo?
Which one was he?
He was Rum Tum Tugger.
Was he the one in the top hat?
That I don't know. I don't know about that.
Because my note about the cat in the top hat was that he looked like Brendan Fraser, but he's not getting top billing.
Or was he wearing the gangster hat? No, that was Idris Elba. So.
Oh, I love it. Such a treasure.
Yes.
He's amazing. But everybody kind of looks like Brendan Fraser because they all kind of look like avatars.
Well, I gotta say, the director, Tom Hooper, he did King's Speech, fantastic film. He did Les Mis, there was some...
So obvious choice there.
Yeah, he knows how to do musical, so that's great. I am certainly not one to say that this is going to be great or comparing it to the play, comparing it to... But I can't do that because I just do not like Andrew Lloyd Webber. So I'm not a Webber head. So I'm not the right person to answer that question. But if you like musicals, my guess is you're going to love this one. And who doesn't know Cats? If you love musicals, who doesn't know Cats?
I kind of got the feeling that like if I were comparing it to like a stage performance, that I would be very underwhelmed. Because if you're going to make a film, then you're really going to push the special effects, and maybe it's like Moulin Rouge with felines.
Mm.
And not that Moulin Rouge raised any bars or anything, but I just didn't get that visual besides, oh my goodness, that couch is so large. I really didn't get like socked in the face with the visuals.
Okay, so
especially if I was comparing it to Clutch Cargo.
Exactly. Okay, so I have a couple takeaways here.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure on your notepad, because of this trailer, you called bullshit to the trailer because not one scene was there a gigantic cat box.
Oh my goodness, that would be gold. Like if they were like in it playing like it was snow, or Taylor Swift was like kicking it at Idris Elba.
Or Jason Derulo thought he, or no, sorry, let's back that up because this will make more sense because it'll be age appropriate. Dame Judi Dench is going number one in the cat box, but she's such an old cat that her rear paws are sticking outside the box, and she's going to the bathroom on the floor. But I'm guessing you called bullshit on that. Bad trailer. Oh, and you cool. will not be there day one.
No pun intended. Call that gold.
You will not be there day one to see Dame Judi Dench do number one, correct?
So, this movie is not made for me. This movie is made for people who saw it on the stage and they want to relive it and own it as streaming or whatever. This is not made for the likes of me. Would I go see Cats on the stage based on Kimmy Schmidt? Yeah, because the names sound hilarious. But do I want to see Dame Judi Dench missing the cat box? I kind of do.
Now I put that in your head. Now you want to see it?
Oh yeah.
My issue with this. Okay. And I want to be Professor Positive. I would love to find something positive about it, but as you well know, I'm not an Andrew Lloyd Webber head. So I'm already going in. I am a web head. You're right. This is not made for me. When I watch the musicals of like Baz Luhrmann, Romeo and Juliet, Moulin Rouge, those trailers show you a gigantic scope of color, of motion, and I did not get that whatsoever from Cats.
I think that's kind of what I was saying.
Yeah, for sure. But, and I didn't even get that.
Get better.
Well, I didn't even get that with his other film, Les Mis. I just didn't get, there was scope, but guess what? That musical's based in the French Revolution. Like, that, there should be war shown, because that's the entire plot of that musical.
Right, or Wolverine tearing up some Frenchmen.
Thank you. But is this film made for me? No. Watching this trailer, did I think that this was going to be one of those NBC or Fox presentations of Grease live on NBC or Sound of Music live on Fox? Honestly, that's sort of what I thought. Looking at it, it looked like it was all done on one stage. But is this coming out in major theaters? Yeah, and it's just not made for me. But I was shocked that it wasn't a Fox presentation.
So the tagline at the end said, this holiday season, you will believe. And I was like, believe that Clutch Cargo special effects are still relevant?
Believe that Cats will sing.
Believe that... you've never seen a couch so big?
Yeah, the jumping on the trampoline on, what was it, a bed or a couch?
It was a bed, I think.
I was just like, oh my God, they were doing that in like 1942.
But what am I going to believe?
That cats will sing and talk.
Oh, that's it?
That's what I would guess. Unless there's the only Andrew Lloyd Webber song I know from that movie is Memories. That's the only thing I know. And that's his most popular play by a long shot. And I just, honest to God, like, I would rather like to see Jesus Christ Superstar, another Andrew Lloyd Webber film. Jesus Christ Superstar done on roller skates. I would rather like to watch that.
I feel like the Believe Cats Sing and Dance is more like Secret Life of Pets.
Yeah. But, buddy, I am not a cat's head, so... You are asking the wrong dude.
Well, we watched it together because you wanted me to see it.
Oh, yeah, because I knew that train wreck. I'm like, Craig's going to write down some gold on that one.
The closing of Warren Ellis's newsletter this week mentions this trailer.
Oh, yeah? What did he say?
I love the endings of his newsletter because it's always sort of like, now get out there and kick some ass, not in those words because he's a writer and he speaks better, but it's always like, you've got this, it's rough out there, but you've got this. And he said, Where's a good spot to... Next week ain't gonna get me, and it ain't gonna get you. We all survived the Cats trailer, so we can survive the future.
Finer words were never said. I think that's a perfect ending point right there.
Nail the lid on it.
How do we surpass Warren Ellis as a end? You can't.
And I've never read him use the word ain't if it weren't dialogue.
He's the man for a reason. All right.
Let's
wrap this sandbagger up. Craig Gunderson, yet again, fantastic to have you sitting on the comfy couch.
Thank you.
You can find friend of the show, Gundy, at CraigGunderson.com. Very simple. Or check him out on Twitter. He writes some funny tweets. And that's at Gunderstorm. Or go see his beer enthusiast website, ThirstyBastards.com. Craig, as always, thank you so much.
How can fans find you, Nick?
Me? Oh, glad you asked. On Twitter, I use my name, Nick Wetmore. Please come holler at us. Or, if you want to do it secretly, you can write us an email. hello@nerdylegion.com. That's the email address. Write to us. Will we write you back? Will we send presents? Will we just ponder what you said and look for all the grammatical errors? Possibly. But I'm not going to answer which one will happen till next week. Legionnaires, get out there and enjoy that summer. Goodbye.
Cheers.